Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Sweet. Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. We're live here in Quito, Ecuador, with some of my fellow Tennessee students from back in the day. So, ladies, why don't y'all introduce yourselves and kind of tell us a little about yourself?
My name's Morgan Rebeck. I am currently a D4 at the UTHSC College of Dentistry. I'm originally from Indiana, but now I'm down in Tennessee.
I'm Anna Hill Moses, also a D4 at UTHSC. I'm actually originally from Connecticut. I did teach for America before dental school in Texas, and then I ended up at Tennessee. Also super involved in ASDA. I'm the District 4 trustee, so that's fun.
Hello, my name is Tessa Johnson. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I go to school with Anna and Morgan. I came straight from undergrad to school here.
Sweet. So a couple different backgrounds, that sort of thing. Have y'all thought about what is next for y'all? Y'all are third year, is going into fourth year. How is it going, by the way?
It's going pretty good.
Do you feel like that was, thank you for that astute answer there. That was really, really, really deep. Have you found that has it been everything that you thought? Have there been things that you've struggled with or not liked about it? Talk about your experience right now.
It's been a little different than I thought it was going to be. I didn't realize how much time it was going to take.
Sure.
Since we're basically the entire office calling patients, scheduling patients,
collecting payments, doing their lab work, doing
all of that. So I didn't really think about the time commitment that'd be involved and kind of figuring out the systems just of the school and requirements and everything.
It takes like 6 months just to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also figuring out the computer system. Luckily, we had really great D4s in our group to look up to and ask questions to, and they were really useful. But I feel like every day I'm still learning new things. And I imagine every day I'll continue to learn new things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing that you got to start to realize is that when you graduate, you realize how much you don't know. You know how it's like you're starting over. So let's talk about have y'all thought about what's next, what you're transitioning to?
We talk about this all the time.
Because I think ultimately, like, that's the big thing I want to talk to you all about is we have listeners all the time who will message us and kind of say, like, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, really it comes down to what's next and how do I deal with that? And so I'd love to kind of get y'all's perspectives on what y'all are seeing and how you're going about it. And so let's just kind of talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, being pretty geographically diverse, I don't really know where I'm going to end up. But it also depends on like the licensure exam I'm taking. I chose to take CETA over CERTA just because it's offered in a couple more states. I want to go into practice immediately, but I'm looking to hopefully find a really good mentor. So I want to do some type of associateship, I think.
Okay. So let me pick on you then for a minute, because it's just easier. It's gonna be harder to do look at all three of y'all. So then the big negative that I hear and see in that for you to a degree is not knowing where you want to be is somewhat kind of is tricky, right? Because you may find a great mentor in a good position, but you don't know how long
I'll end up there.
Right.
Exactly.
So that can be a hard thing, because really for you, it's almost like figure out where you want to go. Yeah. And I mean, there's two ways to look at it, right? There's one, find where you want to go and then find a job there, or find the job and see if that's where you want to go. Right. Have you thought about that as far as which way to go with that?
I think it excites me, but it also gives me a lot of anxiety because I haven't chosen which path I want to take. And I think right now I'm leaning towards find a great mentor, but then how do I go about researching and finding a great
one? So that was my next question. How are you doing this?
Right. If I don't know where I want to go.
Right.
And the other thing is, like, I feel like in your associateship, you're starting to build your network, the people that you're going to refer to.
You're basically building equity into a practice. And,
right.
And yeah.
And so if I don't know where I want to end up long-term, then that gives me a bit of anxiety.
Yeah, but that shouldn't mean, I mean, look, I think too many times we get too excited about the fact that we feel like we have to go get something right away. And it's got to be like, there are less success stories out there where it's one job for 30 mm-hmm. years and that's how it goes. Like that's mm-hmm. very rare. You know, it's much more, I mean, it's okay to go and learn and find an opportunity and move around. Like, you know, don't put the stress on that the one job that you take has to be the job that
I'm going to end up at. Yeah.
Now, the bigger question though is what, like, how are you kind of going about then looking sure. for mentors? I mean, obviously with ASDA, I'm sure you have some connections and whatnot, but how are you doing that?
So I talked to a couple of people that graduated 2 years ago, and one of them actually sent me this beautiful Excel chart that he made. And he was looking more in focused areas. He knew where he wanted to end up. So what he said is find a dentist that you know in that area, or find somebody that knows a dentist in that area and get them to introduce you to their network. Because it's more about like finding that connection with the who would be your lead dentist.
Well, like, let's take Nashville, for example. So mm-hmm. if someone called me and was like, hey, I want to be in Nashville. I need to find a job. What's the best way to go about that? The first thing I would tell you is here are some of the biggest distributor reps in the area. Okay. So either Shine reps, Patterson reps, Benco reps, and I'm going to give you their name and number and let you call it, because those people are a phenomenal resource to find jobs because they're in offices every single day and they know one, these are good offices. These are bad offices. These are poorly run offices. This doctor needs an associate. This doctor thinks he needs an associate, but he doesn't really need an associate. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be really, really helpful resources. So mm-hmm. that would be a big one that I would say.
Starting out with the reps.
Right. Starting out with the reps, because the reps can be super helpful. Plus they would rather help someone get a job because the likelihood that you will continue to use them in some capacity versus like someone randomly buying their doctor's practice, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense for sure.
So food for thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of the reps through ASDA.
Yeah.
So I just need to reach out to some of them. I actually reached out to one recently, but she was like, where do you want to go? And I was like, I don't know.
You should think about that. You should kind of, you should just get a map and like pick out, okay, like here's four
places
that
I would
want to live. And cause obviously I think it, to some degree it's like, oh, I'll go anywhere, but there's probably fewer places that you'd actually want to live and be longer term.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's hard though, because where do you actually figure out where you want to live? For me, I'm 25, just got out of undergrad, went to dental school. So for me, I haven't been able to travel that much.
Was I 25 when I graduated? Time flies.
You probably were.
Wow, okay.
So Anna and I have been traveling recently, just looking at different places. We went to Austin.
We were in Portland.
Portland.
All three of us went to Portland.
Nice.
For me, I know that since I am completely clueless on a location and I don't want to get trapped in a certain area that gives me anxiety, that I'm thinking about doing a government position possibly. So a repayment type program. And, you know, I love patients. I like serving people, but I don't think that I want to work underneath someone like right away.
Sure.
That makes sense.
So no, that's not a bad idea either. And look, I mean, here's where the awkward part where corporate comes into the discussion and whatnot is like, to some degree, I think we have a really bad stigma of corporate, because it's like, well, it's on a, you know, people are like, oh, you're going corporate. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because if you don't know where you want to go, then what's wrong with going somewhere and taking and signing a 1-year contract and trying something out? You know, the big thing that I will tell all three of you that has helped me a lot, kind of just wade through this, is if you'll start to, and this is kind of more life topic than dental topic, I guess, but I think it's a good exercise, is to start to write down kind of what does life look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and start to, and that's a crazy kind of exercise to do, but to start to look at, okay, what are my goals? What are my aspirations? Do I want to be married? Do I want to have kids? Do I want to, you know, where do I want to own multiple practices? Do I want to do specialty dentistry? Start to kind of put together what you think your kind of vision is and what your goals are. And now look, they're going to change. And mine looks totally different than it did 9 months ago. But it has, what, by doing that exercise, it has pushed me so much faster through what decision making and getting to places by setting myself up to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it may be something as right now as small as, okay, well, next year I want to get paid, I want to survive, and I want to live in somewhere fun.
Yeah.
But in 5 years from now, it may be like, okay, I want to be somewhere more established.
Uh-huh.
And you know, whatever it is that you want, you know, because that really starts to define to some degree where you can live or where you can't live, you know, because, you know, and some people may be like, well, it's less about money, more about where I want to live, right? When you say Austin, Portland, those type places, well, it's like, okay, well, those are, who doesn't want to go live those places? So that tells me, okay, well, you know, perfect. The next question sometimes is, do you know, do you have loans? And then a repayment option becomes great. But they're just, it's kind of food for thought to start to think about. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. I think
you're giving me deer in the headlights.
You know, we're just always asked, so what's next? And we're always like, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the millennial way, right? Yeah. It's a little bit of like, I don't know. I'm just kind of living life, having fun, whatever. And there's nothing there's nothing necessarily wrong with that by any means. I mean, if it's working and you're having fun and you're paying your bills, like, what's the point, right? And ultimately, that's a good question to kind of say is, what do I want?
Right. I just want to be happy. Yeah. But that's the millennial thing to say within itself. I just want to be happy. I mean,
but in some regards, I kind of want to be like, well, you know, screw the rest of the bum, because if that's what it is to be happy, then who's to tell you to do it any differently? You know, I mean, you should do what you want to do. I mean, I wish there was like travel dental jobs. That's what
I was saying.
Yeah, I would do that hands down. There are some opportunities that we've learned about, like buses. They serve actually elderly homes, and you're on the bus 5 days a week and you drive all over the state of Tennessee, and they're actually in most states now, which sounds kind of cool because your day-to-day changes, but they have the patient base because they go to certain retirement homes. That sounds kind of cool and different.
There's some in Carolina where, I don't know, it's north or south or maybe both, where they do, it's all kids, and it's like, and teenagers and that sort of thing, and children. So it's like, and I don't know if it's Medicare, Medicaid, I don't know what it is basically, but they go to the schools, and the nurses at the schools have lined everything up. So you never have cancellations, and you only work during the school year. So you have the entire summer off. You make a guaranteed income. Morgan, is this something they're all pointing at you?
Yeah. Well, they're pointing at me because I'm actually going through the residency application process for pediatrics.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So how many schools are you applying to?
Well, right now there's about 22 on my list.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm trying to narrow it down to around 12 to 15.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. So what has made you decide to do that?
Well, I've always been interested in pediatrics. I kind of had talked to myself, I always eventually wanted to go into it, but it was kind of like, when was I going to apply? So I kind of talked myself out of it a little bit, but this semester I really kind of took a step back and looked at what I wanted to do and why was I wanting to wait, and I decided that I might as well just go for it now.
Sure. Well, and I think it's a good thing to get. I think it's good to kind of, if you're going to do it, to go for it and do it.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, the beauty of our industry is if it doesn't work out and you don't end up going to specialties, you can do. I mean, Dr. Pennington's a great example. Yeah. I mean, I know a ton of dentists who are general dentists that basically just see kids, and just do general, just do kids dentistry. So there's lots of interesting kind of ways to go about that from that side. Do you feel like most of your class is kind of in the same boat? Like they have ideas or they're kind of all over the board, or what's kind of the
pulse
of
your class? A lot of people are specializing in our class.
Really?
Yeah. I think more than the average.
Well, they think they're specializing right now.
Yeah. they are going through the application process.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's like 8 people applying for peds.
Yeah. It's like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
There's about 3 or 4 applying for OS.
There's one girl all about perio.
One girl all about perio. Yeah. There's about 3 or 4 applying to ortho.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody's doing pros, though. Not that I've heard of yet. But it's also kind of like a weird subject because at first nobody wants to admit that they're specializing or want to do that because I think they don't want to be looked at as like, you know, a gunner, which is not a bad thing.
No.
Well, I mean, and really, you don't have to be a gunner to want to specialize.
Yeah.
I think it's good to share your goals because then your friends are aware, your instructors are aware, and they're going to motivate you and help you like take a step back and say, okay, remember, what's your ultimate end goal here?
Yeah, you know, keep perspective in line.
Yeah. For a lot of us, our ultimate goal is to get into dental school. And now that we're here and 3 years through it, we're like, well, now what?
There's definitely, that was when I graduated dental school, it's a little bit of like, that was the goal. Like, right. Like how many years of school was it all bent on to this day? And it is kind of like this moment of like, well, now what? You know, now
it's
you
like
go
crickets.
Live life and do things. But that's interesting. Are anybody into startups or buying practices outright? Or most people all wanting to go into some sort of other role?
From what I hear, I think most people want to either go in the residency route or an associateship. I don't know of anybody starting up from scratch. There's two people in our class that will be working with a father.
I know Jim Newman a couple of years ago did a startup, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
He's doing really well.
In Nashville.
What do you think? Why do you think more people are doing more specialties in GPR residencies and not going out and buying practices or going right into private practice?
I know one person. He knows this is where I want to end up. And he looked at, he's like, the general dentist population there is pretty saturated. And so he said, my way to end up there is to specialize. Gotcha. That was his reasoning.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's the only person that I've ever heard say that. But I think that is true. And there is value to that.
If you like the specialty.
Hopefully he ends like up liking what he is committing to.
Yeah.
I mean, all those people will retire eventually. So.
Yeah.
And I always tell you, I mean, the reality is too, stuff's not like, just because there's a lot of dentists doesn't mean it's saturated, right? Because if you can do or offer something better than what other people are offering or delivering, it's no longer saturated, right? It then became saturated for them.
Branding.
You know, it is. It's ultimately is branding. I mean, you could go into an area where, especially if you take like a smaller town or something like that, where there's no sort of, you know, it's saturated by the number of patients or population to dentists, but our industry is so interesting too that you have such little marketing or branding or any of that, that like you can separate, the bar is very low. So you can separate yourself, you know, in the way you do things very differently. And the reality is too, is it's not, it is and always will be. I think my opinion, our competition is not the other dentists. It's getting people to the dentist. And so there's plenty of people to go. We're not oversaturated by any means. It's just, now, you know, from that standpoint. Now, if you want to go live in, you know, downtown Nashville and live in some sweet high rise and pay a crazy amount for rent and you've got $300,000 loans, and you know, then I don't think that's a realistic option for people to do. But I do think it's interesting that we're seeing less and I don't really get the GPR AEGD thing that much.
I don't either.
I don't either, really.
They're actually closing the. What are they doing with our AEGD program? I'm not really sure what's happening.
That's right.
We have one, but next year it's not open. But I'm not sure if they're like reopening it.
I heard maybe it's moving to Nashville.
Interesting.
We're not sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's kind of a question mark.
Yeah. That's interesting. All right, sweet. Y'all got any questions for me?
Actually, talking about branding, do you think that there's value? I mean, social media is so prevalent, especially in dentistry, since it's such an aesthetic profession.
Right.
Do you think there's value in building that brand as a student?
100%. 100%. I mean, I know it sucks. I don't know what the status is at Tennessee, but at some schools, they won't let you take pictures.
I know we can take pictures.
But if you could take pictures, oh my gosh. This is like a huge thing. If you can start building a portfolio in dental school, like you've already got 3 hours for an appointment. So it's not like you don't have time to do it and they're going to get ticked to you. And if you end up early anyways, so like that would be, it's a phenomenal time to take pictures. One, to start to build a portfolio for a couple reasons. One is yes, if you can get some good before and after pictures, that's great to have. You're going to get tons more later. But two, I think it makes you really attractable. Is attractable a word? Yeah, it's a word. It goes.
I'm not really
sure. I think it's a word.
It can be a word.
Sounds like a word. To other dentists that could potentially be hiring you. You know, if you could walk in and say, hey doc, I'm graduating, you know, here's what I like to do. Here's what I want to do. And by the way, here's a book of a bunch of my work.
Almost like a model of trying out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how many other dentists going in to look at jobs or apply for jobs are doing that?
have like a portfolio of what you've
done. Exactly. It's a portfolio.
Yeah.
And so why not start doing it? So I 100% agree. I mean, from a patient standpoint and doing that, it's hard to brand things necessarily.
Right.
Now you can, I mean, I know a number of students who have bought practices before they even graduated. And they are running the practices and with an associate in there, or, you know, they're starting to build their brands. I mean, it's
business masterminds.
Yeah. Those guys are very, they're thinking way ahead. More. I was still figuring out where I was going to go out that night, you know,
figuring out the perio requirements.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Graduate. All right. So yeah, I think that's a really good point, and you should do it.
So would you see value in making that public? Like, I've seen a student have a website already and he posts pictures on his website and it like has his resume. Or would you just say like, print them off, high quality, have them in a little book that you can hand over?
What's the goal? Is probably, what's the point? Would probably be my question I would ask you. Because to some value, it is, right? I mean, if you're trying to, like for me, for example, I do a lot of stuff not for patients, but for dentists, right? Like I'm not only pitching myself to patients, but to dentists. So the point is that it may, yes, if doing something outside of dentistry clinically is, or having some sort of brand in that nature is your goal, then yeah, of course it would be to start, the earlier you start, the better. You know, some people do like these like Instagrams where they're like, you know, for their dental career or whatever. And I think it's kind of fun and whatnot to show pictures and whatnot. But no, I don't think that there's any, from a patient standpoint, I don't think there's any benefit other than just starting to collect the pictures and have them saved so that at one point, because at some point when you're going to graduate and someone's going to be like, well, I want to do some veneers. And they're going to be like, have you done any veneers? And if you've done one in dental school, well, then they're like, yeah. And here they are. And like, oh my gosh, that looks nice. And you could show them some other pictures of just random crap, you know, models were. But it's nice to have that because you got to have to start building it at some point. What else y'all got? Nothing?
Do you think it would be a good idea for people who are taking pictures and compiling them to make kind of like an electronic like photo album?
That's what I would do.
Because then you could use them with them.
Yeah, I would do an electronic photo album because then you could print them later if you want to. And honestly, I would take... If you don't have a camera, that would be something to consider too, is buying a camera, because you're going to need a nice camera.
What kind of camera?
A DSLR nice camera. There's no shortcutting that one.
Okay.
It's going to be, you know, $2,000-$3,000 to get what you need.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Not about cameras or branding, but how would you suggest getting to know somebody that's looking to hire an associateship?
That's a great question.
So I know like, obviously, we can go and shadow them. And a lot of people just tell me like, oh, you just get a feeling. I mean, I know when I was applying to colleges, that's how I felt too.
So let's talk about this. So I have a couple of thoughts on this. The first thing I think is you got to just feel them out and shadow them and do that thing. I think that's necessary. I think also if you can hang out with them. Yeah, see if they jive.
Yeah.
I think also I would take the whole team out to lunch or go out to lunch with the team multiple times. Without the doctor.
Without the doctor.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're going to give you the real realistic, especially being a woman.
Yeah.
And most teams are women being able to connect. And most, you know, typically in the past, it's been most men are the doctor, you know, or the, you will get a huge perspective from them that they'll give you the real reality of like, okay, what's good, what's smooth. Well, this is when he or she's rude or when they're not, yada, yada, yada. That's super valuable. That's even a good tip for when you're an owner and you're hiring employees. You interview them and whatnot, but then send them with your team to go to lunch or go out. You don't go, and they will tell you, don't hire them or hire them way quicker than you'll figure it out. Just because they're going to know if is it going to jive with the team and all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Alongside that, I think, what do they have in common? You know, what do you have in common outside of the industry? You know, what do they do? What's their lifestyle? What's their plan? You know, I think it's very important for people to dig in beyond just the practice and the numbers. What is their long-term goals? What are their plans? When do they plan to retire? How long do they plan to work? You know, do all these things align? Because it's very easy to say, yeah, I need a job. I'm willing to hire somebody. And you have all these big aspirations. But then does that actually come to fruition? Because what you probably hear and what I hear all the time is how you have more and more associateships that end terribly, a young ticked off doctor and a ticked off old doctor. And it's this, and all it is communication on the front end that wasn't set up. So then the next thing I think is once you have that sort of relationship built where you've kind of connected with them and you've kind of, you know, you say, okay, I think that this is going to work on both sides. Then I think that the way I would set a contract up is I would have it set up to where there was like this dating period, just like dating, right? Where you are going to, you know, I kind of, and again, this is just philosophy differences can be too. I'm not a huge believer at like our age, for example, when you're 25 to 35 or whatever, I don't see a huge point in dating for like 6 years mm-hmm. at that point. Like at this point, you kind of either,
you know,
you kind of either know or you don't. Right now, if you're like 18, you know, maybe there's some benefit to dating longer just because you really don't know anything. Like my 21-year-old self knew nothing, you know? And I'll probably say the same thing about my 30-year-old self when I'm older. But still, my point being is that I think at some point it's either a better way to say it is it not necessarily it's either going to work or it's not going to work. You either know it's going to be worth working for or it's not worth working, if that makes sense.
That so makes sense.
Because at some point, whether you're dating someone to marry them or you're dating someone to be a practice owner with them, I think I'd say either after a year or even, you know, a year or two, you either know, okay, this is someone that it's worth dealing with the growing pains and fighting through the stuff. And because there's going to be problems in any relationship that's worth making it work, or this isn't going to work. And so at that point, I think it should be set up on the front end though, that this is kind of, hey, this is our trajectory or plan if it works. So we're going to get to this point and say, yes, it's going to work. Let's put in place the plan, or let's go a different direction. Because too many people, I think, don't do that. And that's where the problem becomes is we're now a year, 2 years into being an associate. You're ready to buy in or buy the practice, or you want more opportunity, more right. growth, or more money. And they're like, well, I was thinking more of like a 5-year plan, right?
Right.
That's how things end badly.
You need to make sure you're on the same page.
Right. And the only way you do that is taking the time and getting contracts and planning like everything could work out really well.
Yeah.
You have to plan for everything.
Success, failure, and everything in between.
Because if you don't, I mean, trust me, everybody goes into it thinking it's all going to work out. We'll figure it out. But like,
I was going to say the two people that graduated last year that I probably knew the best, both of them started associateships and ended have new associateships, and it's only been a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that happened within months.
And I bet if you asked them that they probably had very little structure set in place before they started everything going. Because it's either that or they just don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if they believe in like only doing silver fillings and you believe that silver fillings cause cancer, like, that's not going to work, right? And there's stuff like that. I mean, there's just philosophies, and that would be something I would also, you know, see is you can looking at something that would sound silly, but looking at x-rays together, saying, what would you do here? What would you do here? You know, that can be really, really valuable, because if one of you is very, very conservative and one of you is very, very proactive, then that may not fly either, right? Because if you go in there and these patients have seen this dentist for 20 years, and all of a sudden you're telling them they have 10 cavities, that's not going to work. That's going to cause, you know, animosity, yada, yada, yada. So these are things that you really got to think about when you're kind of going into those situations. Along the same lines, you got to know, I think cost is a big one too, what are we going to pay for this? You know, that sort of thing. You know, if ownership is ultimately down the road.
Mm-hmm. But
that was a long answer to your question.
It was a good answer, though.
Yeah. It hit on lots of good, important points, I think.
Beautiful.
Another question. I'm just full of questions today.
You always ask good questions, though.
Thank you.
Welcome to Anna, Millennial Dentist Podcast. Just kidding. That was a joke.
I've heard of programs that are kind of like Tinder for dentists.
Okay? Yeah.
Not looking for love, looking for associates.
No.
So.
Maybe some love. Yeah.
Have you ever used those programs? Do they work?
No, I think I've heard of a couple different ones. I think they probably do, you know, especially when you're looking, when it starts to become more regional and national. I think Practice on Fire is one.
I've heard of DDS Match.
DDS Match is one, but that's more for, is that not, no, I'm thinking of Dental Push. That's for DDS Match is one.
There's another that emails us a lot.
There's also a new one that some students at Kentucky started that I know, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think any of that's good. Anything that can get you introduced into people.
Get in the network.
Yeah.
Start talking.
The big thing you got to figure out is where you want to live.
I know. You're stressing me out.
I'm not stressing you out. It's just something that's it's hard for you to figure out what you know. But I would probably say that you probably haven't sat down and tried to figure out, okay, what does life look like? What do I want? Like, what are my goals in life?
I need to take a step back.
Does it to be flexible, travel, do whatever? Is it? Yeah. No, I think you have to, because that is the problem, is we get into this rat race of go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I graduate. Now what? And we've never really stepped back to think about, okay, what do I want to, you know, what do I want to do? And like, kind of like you were saying earlier, you were saying how you don't want to, you know, you just want to help people and do things. And like, you know, and at the end of the day, it to a lot of people, it's less about numbers and production and money. And it's just, I want to make sure I can pay my loans and make a living and that sort of thing. But I would enjoy doing some sort of, you know, there's a lot of benefits to doing government type care like that.
At least at first.
Yeah.
Mainly because I have an opportunity in Georgia to take over a practice, and I don't like the location. I haven't met any of the staff or anything. And the thing is, if I did inherit that practice, what would I do after that? I mean, if I didn't get along with them, the hiring and firing, or, you know, all that's just kind of stressful at first. So maybe after a couple years.
A couple thoughts on that. One, don't be afraid to jump into something like that, because one, you're never going to be ready for that. No, a year of any program, whatever, is going to make you ready for the day that you show up and you open the front door and you're the one in charge. That there, at some point, that is it. That's just a sink or swim type thing. Now, for some people, they don't want to take on that role. And so you can build a support staff around you with good office managers or whatever, to where you don't have to necessarily deal with all the hiring and firing and all that sort of thing. So you can be successful and not have to make a lot of those decisions. The other thing I'll tell you is that will probably happen no matter what, to a degree, whenever you do it and however you do it, if that makes sense. But yeah, we got patience here.
We do.
Hooray.
It's starting to pick up a little bit, so.
All right, well, let's go rock and roll, and we'll touch base later.
Nos vemos.
Yes.
All right, thank you, ladies. This was fun.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.